If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. If you've been with us, you know that we've been on a journey through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. And again, this hasn't been a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter walk through the Bible, but rather an overarching look at who God is and who He desires us to be. And we've been on this journey for over 2 years. I know that because this is week 107, right? Because I number all those weeks, and you know there's 52 weeks in a year, so you times that by two, that would be 104. So for over 2 years, we've been walking through this series, it's taken us already through the entire Old Testament and then through a section and a portion of the New Testament. And so today we find ourselves again in the book of Ephesians. Over the last several months, we've been actually walking through books that were written by Paul himself, which is no surprise since Paul actually wrote almost half of the New Testament. But Ephesians is just one of the four books from the New Testament that Paul wrote when he was actually in prison. That they were actually letters that he wrote in prison. And Ephesians is considered by many to be one of Paul's most powerful letters, one of his most powerful books. And I shared each week that the book of Ephesians, it consists of six total chapters, which basically breaks down into two main thoughts or ideas. Chapters 1 through 3 are really just kind of an in-depth look at the gospel of Jesus, who Jesus was and all that he did for us. And it's probably one of the most in-depth gospels that Paul shares there in the first three chapters. And then chapter 4 through 6 is Paul then sharing how we should live out that gospel in our own lives. And so we started 2 weeks ago in chapter 1 as we talked about the many blessings that we experience through Jesus. And then last week we looked at chapter 4 and this reality that we are called to live like Jesus lived, right? To live like Jesus. And so now today we're going to jump into the next chapter, chapter 5, as we kind of look a little deeper at how we actually do that, how we actually live like Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along as we're going to read Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. This is what it says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stop there. Now, if you remember from last week, we talked about transition words, right? Like then or therefore or for this reason. And how these kinds of words will tell us that whatever is about to come should be read in the context of what was just said. And so we see that Paul says then there. And so in the previous scriptures, Paul was talking about the light of Jesus and the things that his light actually exposes. The fact that we live in a dark world and that we need to be aware of this darkness that is all around us. And so Paul is concluding this section of scripture by saying, we need to be careful. We need to use wisdom in this dark world. And Paul isn't just talking about head knowledge here when he talks about wisdom. He's talking about spiritual wisdom. He's talking about moral discernment. He's talking about understanding what is of the Lord and what is of the world. He says here that the days are evil. The days are evil. Now, we know this. We know that this nation that we live in has changed a lot over the past 100 years. Even really the last 10 to 20 years, our nation has changed tremendously. A nation that once was known as a Christian nation is quickly losing that claim, if it hasn't already. And if we're honest, many that claim to be Christians in our world today aren't exactly showing it by their lifestyle. They're not exactly living like Jesus did. And just like Paul said in his time, these days we're living in are evil. There is evil that's happening in our world. But know this, God is still God, right? And just like in the days of Paul, Jesus is still on the throne. How we as Americans choose to live and acknowledge that doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change anything. Because Jesus is alive today in the same way he was back in Paul's time. And God is not surprised by the evil that he sees in our world. He has seen it throughout history ever since the fall of mankind, right? This is why he continues to shine his light on this dark and fallen world, so that we can learn to walk in his light and help shine that light ourselves for those around us. Now he says here in verse 16 that because these days are evil, we need to make the most of every opportunity. But one of the reasons I believe the early church was so effective and grew so quickly is because they shared the gospel with a sense of urgency. They knew that Jesus said he was coming back, right? Jesus said, "I'm coming back." So they lived every day as if that might be their last day, that Jesus might come back tomorrow or that same day. They didn't wait until tomorrow to let their light shine because they didn't know if tomorrow would come. Now, if we talk about how life and things have changed over the years, I don't know how many of you grew up in the church in the 70s, but there was a lot of talk about the end times back in the 70s. Jesus is coming back any minute. Be ready. Get ready. He's coming, right? As a matter of fact, I had a maintenance guy from a specific denomination a few years ago share with me how many of their churches, and I won't share what the denomination was, but how many of their churches were falling apart because they didn't take care of them or maintain them. And that's because they believed Jesus would come back before they needed to worry about that. And now all these buildings are in disarray, and they're having to spend all this money to try to fix these buildings. Here's the thing. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. Could be tomorrow. Could be in an hour. Could be 100 years from now. Could be 10 years from now. Could be 1,000 years from now, right? Only God knows the answer to that question. But there is something about living life with a sense of urgency. Because we don't want the opposite. We can't live the opposite way. We don't want to sit around twiddling our thumbs, thinking we have all the time in the world and end up missing out. I think many of us have heard the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were prepared with extra oil and 5 of them weren't. The 5 that didn't have enough oil had to run home to get some more oil. And while they were gone, the groom arrived and they missed the banquet feast. The fact is, we have no idea when Jesus is coming back, but we all need to be ready. Because there's something to this idea of living life with an urgency and making the most of every opportunity that we have. God has called us to go into all the world and to share his love and to see his kingdom extended. And so we need to be doing our best to follow this command, to live life with a sense of urgency, to realize that these days are evil and we need to make the most of every opportunity. Now, the next scripture we see here, or next section of scripture, it's kind of interesting, right? Let me read you verses 17 and 18 again. They say this, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Now, interesting scriptures here. As I studied these scriptures, I read many different commentaries and opinions on verse 18. And many of them had different thoughts on why Paul used the words, "Do not get drunk on wine," here in verse 18. Did the Ephesians have a problem with drinking too much? Maybe that's why they put on there. Was he just generalizing this as something that wasn't very wise because it affected your ability to think rationally? Or perhaps he wanted to point out the contrast of control between the person who was full of wine versus the person who was full of the Spirit. The reality is all of these are great thoughts, and many of them may be true. But one of the key things I do when I'm reading Scripture and trying to break it down and understand what the Lord wants me to share is I ask. I ask the Lord, "Lord, what are you trying to say to us today? What is it that you want me to speak to our church through these scriptures?" And so, as I prayed, here is what I think the Lord is wanting to speak to us today. You see, I believe we all have this giant void in our hearts. A void that can only be filled by one thing. It can only be filled by God. And God chooses to fill that void with the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, a lot of us try to fill that void with other things in our life. As we try to navigate this thing called life, right, this challenge that we go through each day, we often grasp for whatever we can find to help us cope. We look for whatever we can find that will fill that void. And for some, that may be alcohol. Back in these times, they had wine, and it was in that state of drunkenness that they would escape their troubles. Now, today we have all sorts of things that help us escape, all sorts of things that we may use to try and fill that void. It may be alcohol, drugs, relationships, food, sex. We can all fill in the blank, what it is for us that we try to fill that void with. But the thing is, regardless of what it is that we use to escape, when we come back to reality, nothing has changed. When we come back to reality, the problems, the issues, the struggles, they're still there. So Paul tells us here, don't be filled with wine or anything else. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that we can use the wine that Paul talked about here actually as an analogy. When we get drunk on wine or on alcohol or anything for that matter, what is it that controls us? What takes control over our emotions and the things we do? It's the alcohol. Because of that alcohol or the drugs or whatever it is, we begin to do things that maybe we wouldn't normally do. And we act in ways that we wouldn't normally act. Why? Because the alcohol is affecting our thoughts and our actions. So when we are full of wine or alcohol, it's the wine or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is that is actually in control. And this is bad, right? Because it means that we are then out of control. So we then have to ask the question, well, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what is it that's in control? What controls us? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to do things that we wouldn't normally do. And we begin to act in ways that maybe we wouldn't normally act. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is now affecting our thoughts and our actions. So when we are full of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that is in control. And this is a good thing. This is what we want in our lives because the Holy Spirit leads us in the direction of the Lord. And so the real question here is how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? And the simple answer, we ask. We ask that the Lord would fill us. I believe we have to continually ask. We have to continually seek the Lord, asking Him to fill us. For me, it's actually a daily thing. It's how I try to start my day off on a regular basis. When I wake up, I try to say, Lord, fill me. Fill me today with You, more of You, less of me. Let me decrease so that You might increase. I really believe it's that simple. After the service last week, when we talked about things like humility, gentleness, and patience, I had someone come up to me after the service and say, you know, these things you talked about are actually in us. These are things of the Spirit, and since the Spirit lives in us, they are available to each of us. And I said, you are so right. That is right on, right? Because when we say yes to Jesus, when we seek to follow Him, His Spirit actually comes and lives in us. It's just a matter of us actually seeking the Lord and drawing from the Holy Spirit that is already there, that's already inside of us. It goes back to our series that we were in, our series within a series that we walked through when we were in Galatians, titled Feeding the Dogs, and that reality that whatever we feed is going to grow, that whatever we starve is going to lessen, right? So when we feed the things of the Spirit, we grow in the Spirit. We become full of the Spirit. Or we can feed the things of the flesh and become full of the things of the world. God's desire is that we would be full of the Spirit because He knows it's then that we can truly be the lights that He's called us to be, that we can truly live the life that He's calling us to live. And so the question So the real question then becomes, how do we know if we're full of the Spirit? How do we know if we're people that are operating in the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe this. I believe if we're full of the Spirit, then we're actually going to begin to see evidence of it. Going back to Paul's original analogy here, how do you know when someone's drunk? You see it, right? Whether it's the way they stumble around or the way they slur their words or maybe it's the crazy way they're acting or even just the fact that they reek of alcohol, the fact is there's evidence, right? You can see it in them. You can see something's different, and the same should be true of someone who is full of the Spirit. We should actually see some fruit, some proof in their lives. We'll be able to see the fruit that it actually produces. Paul goes on to talk about some of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. In verse 16, he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. When I look at that scripture, it's kind of interesting, but I look at it this way. Any of you ever got really excited about something? You know, maybe you won something. Maybe you received some good news. If you're in school, maybe you passed a test that you were worried about. Years ago, I remember actually giving our kids the gift of being able to go to Disneyland at Christmas and the excitement and how excited they were jumping up and down and excited that they got to go to Disneyland. The reality is when we're excited about something or have something amazing happen to us, there's this joy and this happiness that begins to well up from within. It was about 14 or 15 years ago that I wrote a song for my two kids. Toby and Emma. And I actually sang this song to them at a little talent show we used to do in Newburgh. In Newburgh, we used to do this funny talent show. I used to emcee it, Crazy Tony Starr, all this stuff. But I would always kind of end with some sort of funny act at the end. But at the end, I sang this song to my kids. And the start of the song went something like this. I'm not going to sing it, but it went something like this. As I was writing about my two kids, it says, "What is it about my kids that when they walk into a place, what is it about my kids that puts a smile on my face? What is it about my kids that when they bust into the scene, what is it about my kids that make me want to sing," right? What is it? When my kids entered mine and Stacy's life, man, they brought us so much joy. My point is this, when there's something we love, when there's an excitement that wells up from the depths of our soul, we have this desire that just wants to sing, right? That wants to shout it from the rooftops and let others know. And I think this is what this verse that Paul is talking about is referring to. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is this excitement about God that makes us want to sing, that makes us want to share it with others, share the things that God is doing, the scriptures that He's put on our heart, that makes us want to praise Him and tell others about it. And that kind of excitement about the Lord, it comes from the Holy Spirit that's at work inside of us. From the depths of our heart, we experience the Spirit in a way that changes us and causes us to live in a way that we may have never lived like before. And there's evidence in the fruit that's produced in and through our lives. That's what Paul is talking about here in these verses. And then let's finish by looking at verse 20, where Paul continues by saying, "Then always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think another sign of being filled with the Spirit is having a thankful heart. Now, I know that we live in a fallen, broken world. There are a lot of hard and difficult things that we have to deal with from time to time here in our world. But as I mentioned earlier, God is still God. He is still on the throne. And because of that, we have so much to be thankful for, so much that we can thank Him for. The question is, how often do we say thanks? When we walk in the light and are filled with the Spirit, it opens our eyes and enables us to see things at a deeper level. It enables us to see that the things in this world are really nothing compared to God. And it enables us to have this thankfulness. It enables us to see things that we can truly be thankful for. The reality that God will never leave us or forsake us. That's huge. The fact that He is with us through everything, those deepest, darkest moments of our life, He is right there beside us. He isn't this God that's off in a distant who doesn't really care what's going on in our lives. He's not going, "Oh, what's going on over there with Darren? Oh, too bad for him." That's not the way God works. He's right there with us. He's completely opposite of that distant God. He came to this earth because He loves every single one of us, and He wanted relationship with each of us, and He opened the door for us not to just have a relationship with Him, but so that He could come and live in us, so that we could be filled with His Spirit and be empowered as lights in this dark and dreary world. And so my encouragement to us this morning is simply this. Well, let's seek to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and live the lives that God is calling us to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, even as I was going through Ephesians 5 this week, I felt that spark in me, that idea of just being excited about who You are. We talked earlier, Lord, right now is a difficult time. And even for myself as a pastor, decisions I have to make, it's challenging. And if I'm honest, it sucks at times. But Lord, I am so excited about who you are. And about the fact that, Lord, in the midst of this fallen, broken world, you are still at work. That you are allowing your light to shine in places to expose the darkness. That you are calling us to a greater relationship with you, to grow in you, to be filled with your Spirit in a way that enables us to live lives beyond what we ever thought we could live. And so we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul and the things that he spoke, Lord. Ephesians is a powerful word. When you read through it, when we read about who you are and what you did for us, it's amazing, Lord. The depth that Paul goes into the gospel and what it means for us. And then when we look at how you're calling us to live, it's a challenge. But Lord, when we do live in the way that you've called us to live and we live filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, there is a joy and a blessing that happens in our life that rises above the darkness and evil of this world. And so, Lord, may we experience that joy. May we experience, Lord, the fruit of your Spirit. As we continue to seek you every day and draw upon your Spirit to be filled by you and to live the lives that you've called us to live. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your word. May you allow each of these things today just to speak to us where we're at. What do you want to speak to me today, Lord? What do you want to speak to each of us today, Lord? May we hear what you have to say and may we be different because of it. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.